You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the first day of 2011. We made it. Tonight, my guest is Colleen Thomas. Colleen had a Kundalini awakening on January 31st of this year. On Valentine's Day, she had a Pleiadian contact, causing her awakening to quantum physics. There has been developing a conscious awareness of her telepathic connection to Mother Earth, other planets and stars, and the ET peacekeeping forces that have the dark pinned down here on Earth, I hope. Well, let's hope they get unpinned pretty soon. As a Pleiadian contactee, Colleen will no doubt have a role to play in building the world of tomorrow, where humans are free from the dark-spirited, carnivorous, sentient entities who have been feeding on human suffering for over 10,000 years. Earth will be restored to her original purpose, which is to serve as an oasis for star travelers, to visit and enjoy in peace. And just between us, a lot of you will be familiar with Cliff High from the WebBot Project, a good friend of mine and somebody that I listen to quite closely. And he mentioned someone in one of his recent reports named Wild Colleen, and she and I talked about this before the show, and this is the Colleen, indeed, that was mentioned in the WebBot report. So let's find out more about her and about what's happening in our universe today. Hi, Colleen. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Where would you like me to begin?
Well,
where does one begin in this epic story that's
billions
of years.
Well, okay, let's start with right now. I was doing some investigating today, and I got sucked down a black hole of, conspiracy stuff. And I'll tell you, it seems like a Pandora's box of horrible...
It certainly is, and I'm happy to say that there's no need to look inside that ugly box any longer. We can close the lid on that box, and the sooner we do that, the better for everyone concerned. And by closing the lid on the box, what I mean by that is that we simply will not mention these entities by species, by any kind of specificity whatsoever, because we actually attract them to our present situation, and we've crossed a divide wherein they can't cross unless we invite them, and they'll drag us back, and we drag them up into an in-between space that frees no one. So we want to really couch our comments on the hope of the situation that we're in. Beyond the hope, is the realization of, it's the manifestation of a desire, and we've arrived at that now. The desired freedom that we had hoped for so deeply and so passionately that it was heard throughout the cosmos is now. We've arrived. We've made it. So we can actually close that chapter and simply concentrate on what we do with this wonderful world we have on our hands because we were bold enough to say no.
Well, I love what you're saying, and for all those people out there that are looking around at the material world, the 3D world that ensnares and traps or ensouls everything and consumes it, what about what's going on? We know that that the old paradigms are collapsing, that they're about to be exposed, and
They're sufficiently exposed now in terms of having seeded enough of the human consciousness to make it a tidal wave that is virtually unstoppable and will sweep around faster than people realize.
All right.
Yeah. Seriously, the energies work that way, and we've reached that point. And so we're all going to be amazed at how a sleeping populace all of a sudden seems to come to. And there's a lot of factors involved, and it requires some healing and transmutation, and there's a lot of work involved. But we're dealing with supernatural entities that, including ourselves, that can think things into reality. And so, as we make agreements with one another about the kind of reality we want manifest about us, we speed it along because we are in such grand company of highly ascended entities that we would call gods, creators who can, with their thoughts, create anything. And this is the point where humanity realizes that is who and what they are as well, to come to a full consciousness of their full potential. That it was a hidden potential for reasons, and now we're just going to come back into our own. And because we are eternal beings, this was an extraordinarily long project, but a successful one and a necessary one. And it really is for the upliftment and evolvement of all concerned, including those that we would have demonized before. Everybody was learning, those who were on one side of the equation and those who were on the other. Mm. And believe it or not, we've taken turns on both sides. Mm-hmm. The ascended one, the less ascended one. You know, those of us here on this planet have played both sides. That's not to say that all souls have. We are a brave bunch who played this game down here, but we've learned an extraordinarily important lesson. Everybody has. Those of the lower vibrations from a very immature galaxy called Sagittarius B have been exposed to something quite remarkable. The highest forms of love and cooperation and endurance and patience, long-suffering, the humans have shown a divine capacity to trust, and they were taken advantage of and exploited because their natural nature is to trust, because why would not an angel trust? Who would harm an angel?
Yeah.
So, but if you don't know that's what you are, then you take that abuse and you learn the motivation of your abuser. You learn the cultural dynamic of the species. Even though we all look human to one another, we are not at the soul level. And so everybody played a role, and everybody learned something. So there's nothing to resent. There's no blame involved. This was an important evolutionary study, and we have learned what we need now to go into these lesser evolved places and help them, because now we know how they think, their predation habits, their cunning, and the criminal kind of mind, an animal mind that thinks survival only and has no pity or compassion, or they're sociopathic in their thinking because they only want to survive, and anything is a mark, is prey if it advances their aims. And as those aims got ever more lustful, the carnage got ever more great. But still a learning lesson, because now we know what to do when we encounter this situation again. What happened here in the Milky Way is unique and was not supposed to happen, but and the backstory on that is complex, and I'm not going to attempt it tonight.
All right. We could do that another time, but everybody's got their own metaphor that they can plug in. But I'm more interested in right now, what you're talking about right now. And you talk about the carnage. There's carnage everywhere. Is there
in subtle places too that are not so obvious?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we want to know about that?
Well, I'm just talking about, well, I didn't mean it to the extreme. I was talking about subtle things like your food and water supply being poisoned, your air supply.
Yeah.
You know, people are oblivious to the fact that the FDA does no longer represent human interests. Not to say that there aren't people there that care, but they have no influence where the real dirty work's being done.
Right.
And so, you know, they keep raising the bar on how much toxins are allowed in our water. They raised the bar on lithium about a year ago, I do believe, if I recall correctly. And, you know, lithium is a waste product from the making of batteries. So this is a backdoor deal that involves Japan, an advantage to them. Some kind of trade was involved, I'm sure. This was done way back in the early industrial days with fluoride, which is a industrial waste in the making of the metal aluminum, the alloys. So these industrialists don't care about the humans so badly that they sell their industrial waste to us and buy off government officials and medical professionals and scientists send your grant money or send your money here and there and everywhere to bless, you know, just the right people, and you can get anything you want. And
well,
these characters did. and so these studies said that fluoride was good for us, when in fact it shuts down cellular respiration. And those medical professionals out there, or biologists, et cetera, know what I'm talking about. If your Krebs cycle doesn't work, your cell is going to die. It can't metabolize anything. And so when you're not metabolizing at the cellular level, you're dying.
Yeah.
You're being poisoned slowly but surely.
Incidences
of cancer, arthritis, you know, the deleterious effects to bones, teeth, et cetera. These things are actually being done to us with malice and forethought.
And the
guilty parties are known, and the dirt is going to come out. Julian Assange is key in getting that dirt out there. But as our star families get, you know, more and more direct in their contact with us, they have the ability to take an entire courtroom, the accused and everybody, back in time, if needs be, so that everybody can see this transpire in real time.
Oh, wow.
And of course, the parties in the past won't know that these higher vibrational entities are in the room, just like they can be in the room with you right now.
Yeah.
And you don't know it. You can't see them. They're there nonetheless. And so it'll be just like that. And so anybody guilty of these kinds of crimes are going to know that they will be faced with that kind of humiliation if they don't cut a deal and just confess right up front and save everybody the time and peptic, upset. Just confess and know that the penalties will be weighed according to the situation on this planet, which was quite unique and quite brutal. And so the human minions cooperated with all of this, who had modeled for them lustful, aims and things like that. So, there needn't be a lot of fear about this, but there will be accountability. And so the humans really need to, chuck all kinds of angst, hostility, retaliatory kinds of thoughts.
Because we're all alike.
And we all did this for good and noble reasons. And like I said, we played both sides of the light and the dark so that we would know how they think. We incarnated in their families, in their nests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it became one of them, and more of us did that than people realized. It would be a terrible error to judge.
Yes. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that's what that only nails our own feet to the floor and keeps us from evolving.
And it does. So, absolutely right. Because to judge is to fail to understand that all is of one, and because all things are really one thing,
right,
then all of it is acceptable. So you have to realize that oneness applies everywhere. What is of the light, no matter how low the vibration goes, will always reverberate back into the light. It's a spiritual principle, a physics principle. It just is the way of it. And all energies pass through all other energies, and all are altered by that. Some get lowered, some get raised. And so as things reverberate throughout a creation, ultimately the higher light prevails. It has the strongest energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and everything, there's a quantum entanglement. So it's an illusion to think that you can
be separate,
you know, to something else and think that that's a separate thing. And the whole,
we've
been divided and conquered. And so we're
only in the mind. Only in the mind.
In the mind, right.
In
exactly.
The mind.
It's an illusion of fragmentation. It's not a reality. And
Correct. We
are the really more powerful. And I think that if they were smart, they would be afraid of us.
They actually are. This was their worst nightmare, that the humans would actually be repaired sufficiently to become metaphysical, telepathic, enlightened, awakened. And the enlightening begins, or the awakening begins with the enlightening, because the physical brain tells the spiritual side of oneself that we're trying to communicate, we're opening a door. And so as a person delves into the truth, trying to see through the illusion that we're isolated in the universe and we're God's only project, begins a kind of knocking at the door that Joshua talked about, people call him Jesus. But anyway, that's the knocking on the door. That's how you knock on that door. You say, I want to know the truth. I don't care if they call me crazy. I don't care if anybody else doesn't like it. I want to know what the truth is. I know I'm being duped here. This is not what it seems. Something is terribly, terribly amiss here. And if we don't get to the bottom of it, we could lose our personal sovereignty and have an outcome that's deplorable, despicable, and unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in the human consciousness. They got self-preservation, I'm sure, motivated a lot of people, but other people just got angry. They got tired of it. They know they're being played at the political level, at the medical level, at the financial level, at every level possible.
Yes.
They're losers in every deal.
I agree with you. But untangling all this, it's going to have to happen pretty quickly because...
It will. It's going to...
There's
really
a stranglehold on everything, literally, media.
Well, there was. There was, actually. The media was pierced. The stranglehold on that was pierced when I made it onto national radio and then international television. My family described it that me breaking the kind of message that I brought that day to the national airwaves and then the international airwaves was somewhat akin to, and pardon me, but they do have a sense of humor. They've been monitoring the humans for some time now, but they said it was akin to popping a zit. And you just squeeze the pus out, you know. And by bringing the word of truth and enlightenment to an audience that was otherwise being held from such information by a lot of Illuminati control.
Right. Very good. Well, you and I are very similar in a lot of ways. I feel a kinship with you because when I read your bio, we both are for the underdog and always have been.
Yeah.
And I think there are certain sensitive souls that are, kind of on the forefront or, on the, would you call it, the front lines with the...
Front line, exactly, the forward observers, and then now we are the first to draw our shields, not our swords, our shields.
Right, exactly. Forget
about
the swords.
Because the time for swords has passed, exactly.
You know, sort of, and a
truth,
lot of people fell for that.
Exactly. Yeah, the only sword that we need is truth, which is
truth.
The enlightenment, which leads to the awakening, which leads to consciousness.
Exactly.
The restoration of our full potential as metaphysical, eternal beings. That's where we're at, folks.
Exactly. Wonderful. Well, this is a new year, and, this is a good time for the truth to come out. One of the people who is involved with the WikiLeaks and has been for decades is John Young. And I guess there's a group of people that have been behind that for decades now, and they're very they're not a bunch of kids. These are business people.
Oh, no.
and the wealthy who feel that the truth really needs to come out. And one of the things that stood out in my mind about what's going to come out soon, which got validated in some of Cliff High's writings, is that the Vatican is going to be exposed for their 2,000 years of horrors that have been created, and
their collusion with the lower entities. Exactly.
It's going to be shocking when the truth comes out. I mean, it'll make pedophilia look like Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see
in the paper just a few days ago, it said that the Pope, I guess in sometime in his prior career, evidently in the 70s, said that pedophilia was a normal human behavior, or was considered at the time a normal human behavior.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, just throwing that out there.
How about burning witches and rape and... the whole thing.
All
is,
of that. The witches they were burning, I want to make this point because it's going to be really important now because there's a lot of judgment against those people who were called witches in those days. These were people who were actually awake, who knew they were metaphysical. They understood how energies worked. They were sensitive to crystals and living things, and they knew how to cluster energies together for manifestation effect. And so they were powerful angelic beings. And so, but they were told the humans that these were horrible black magic workers, and they were just naturalists. They were just close to the earth. What a lot of people call Wiccans today, they fell into derision because they don't want the humans to be in touch with the energies and able to communicate with living things, to be able to communicate to a planet or to a galactic consciousness, to channel it. I mean, I had some confusion about, who I channel and who I am there for a little while, and now I understand that the consciousness is merely available here now. It's being channeled here from all over the cosmos. There's many consciousness, common ones, with identities that are familiar to us in human history and the Bible and mythology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's an interesting phenomena to be in touch with great consciousnesses that are just magnificent in their magnitude.
Well, I think
it affects so many humans at the same time. You know, it's just remarkable.
Well, that's us. I mean, we're getting in touch with ourselves.
And, well, yeah.
When you mentioned the witches being burned, it reminds me of all the indigenous tribes that have been systematically wiped out.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Almost to the last one.
The predation on them has been horrendous. I don't know if you were aware that the Pope was served by an international tribunal for crimes against humanity. 50,000 indigenous children entrusted to the Catholic Church, either in schools or orphanages, went missing over the years since he has been Pope. And they had been crying bitterly out for his attention on this, to send for an investigation. He never called for one in like the 5 or 7 years or whatever it was that they were imploring him for help. And so when they filed this thing, other nations became aware of it, and these poor people who can't afford to fight, fortunately their plight became known to an attorney who knows international law, and free of charge, he represented them and did an investigation, evidently, and found out, and 5 other countries joined in these allegations against the Pope, and he was served publicly, and if he doesn't show up to court in January, he's going to be arrested without trial and simply jailed as a guilty person. His absence will be interpreted as an admission of guilt.
Mm.
No questions asked. That's what that man is facing right now.
There's a lot of people that should be in jail. I think half the globe would disappear if the truth was told.
And it'll be quiet for a while for various and sundry reasons. They'll be given the option to actually join us in the light without recrimination or anything. Just come with us.
Well, that would be fine. But yeah. what about the scorched earth policy? And you know,
they've been trying that. They've been trying that, but all of their efforts have been thwarted, you know, or ameliorated to a very large degree. The humans have no idea how many things have been attempted over the last couple of decades, actually, covertly using biological warfare such as flu viruses and then inoculations that are actually meant to make you more susceptible, not
absolutely.
Less.
Absolutely. And chemtrails.
all of that stuff.
The laundry list.
You know, it's diabolical, really.
It is diabolical.
But when you examine how they operate, you realize that there is a lower level of intelligence being employed.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot away with a lot because they're so diligently patient and just incrementally, teeny tiny steps moved it forward. So it's like raising the temperature in a pot of water. You know, if you have frogs in there, they're not going to move until it's too late because the temperature rises so gradually, they just don't notice it until they're just in too hot a water to really function.
Yeah,
and
that's
kind of where we got, where fortunately we felt to get a little too hot, and we were still functioning.
Yeah.
We had a lot of help, though. The humans have had a lot of help. There's a lot of species that are directly involved and have their own agenda for being involved directly, and I mean as incarnated here. And there's a lot of relationships that that spread in many different directions that humans are only vaguely aware of. Mm-hmm. And so they incarnated in fetuses they've been coming in waves, and you know, when the time was right, they were to awaken and begin the process of rebuilding. And you know, I am one of those people that just rushes headlong without really stopping and thinking or contemplating or meditating or anything like that. So my awakening was kind of shaky and all over the place and in everybody's face, quite public. And you know, and my family said, though, that this is going to be instructive because the awakening process can be quite jarring if you're completely unprepared for it.
Absolutely.
And some of us were jerked awake because we're on mission, and I was jerked awake. And those who've been jerked awake like I was can spin out of control. The 40 days and nights that Jesus spent in the desert just being by himself was so that he could go through that process, because quite literally on the 40th day after my awakening on the 31st of January, I had the evening before had a slippage like out of my physical body, and I became as large as the room I was sitting in. And my thought process was in analyzing a movie in the paradigm of aether physics, and the characters to me were just moving energies, and so I was losing touch with this 3D reality, and I could have quite easily left right then. Uh-huh. But I came back into my physical space within my body, and then I called a friend of mine who has taken me by the hand and led me through that 40 days in the wilderness, because he's seen it happen to many people over the years. Mm-hmm. And he had never seen one arrive on the other side with their sanity or their life. They would either commit suicide, end up in jail, derelict, or in an insane asylum. Mm-hmm. I am the only, the first one he's ever seen arrive on the other side. Fine.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you know, your experience is going to help a lot of other people, because some of us
precisely.
Have had... Yeah, you know, because the awakening process for a lot of people is going to be like snap. There's going
We're
to be
talking,
a finger
yeah.
snap. You know, we've had
and
the luxury.
I'm happy to say, I want to say this is really important for everybody listening. I'm happy to say that there are enlightened and awake psychologists and medical, psychiatrists out there who have studied this phenomenon over the years. And there are several specialty areas in psychiatry and counseling that deal specifically with the awakening going through the wilderness phase and giving them the proper support so that they don't spin out of control and end up, basically not functioning in their activities of daily living, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Those kinds of malfunctions are completely avoidable, but a lot of people were awakened and they had no support. I was lucky I had Dave Talbot with me, every step of the way. He was my anchor, my rock, and my balance in check. He challenged me every step of the way. And it really helped me check myself and double check myself. And, you know, and he told me that he thinks that that's what really saved my sanity, was that I was always, always amenable to being corrected and listened intently to his every objection and his every check and challenge.
Wow. Well, you know, you definitely are guided and protected, because, as you know, most of the kids who have demonstrated some kind of different ability, and there are millions and millions of them now, they're now, some of them are grandparents, but they've been given drugs to alter their, which, you know, as we know, dampens the ability to contact your higher self, or, you know, your abilities are dampened. So,
yeah, I want to say something about attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
There's several different phenomena that get labeled that, and they're not all the same. And what people had been seeing with these, what we used to call hyperactive children, it used to be just boys. Boys were just high strung, and that's just the way they are. They got a lot of energy. Mm. But then there came the time where the boy can't pay attention because he can't sit still in his seat, and, you know, and so they drugged him to slow him down. And then they made it a, you know, a clinical diagnosis to justify the drugging, or whichever way that, you know, whatever the chicken, the egg was on that, I don't recall specifically, but the point is that, you know, the higher realm mind is going to run faster. And so when you have indigo children who are tacking along at a higher rate of speed, you know, their RPMs are moving. And so they're having whole thoughts way faster than adults are used to seeing a child have, and moving from thought to thought and action to action, you know, toy to toy, whatever, because they're satiating themselves quite fast. And so you can call it hyperactivity, but think of it as these guys are just really going faster, harmonically
speaking,
in their consciousness. And it shows in their physicality, and it does look strange to us, but we need to embrace it and appreciate how fast they're learning.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, you know, because the rate of speed of energy determines where it is in the scale of things, and the energy that we can't see is the energy that's moving faster than we are.
And the children's attention, they're moving fast.
Right. Now, one of the things I'm curious about is, what about, we know that there's a stranglehold that has been created, a giant octopus of debt, and the banking industry and the banking cartels in legal mafia and the corporations and the governments. So we're pretty aware of that, but when is this going to start to collapse? I mean,
Well, don't worry. It's not going to collapse. Fortunately, it's going to be allowed to limp along. However, having said that, there will be a transition as these guys at the top are arrested and held accountable. Everything, all the house of cards below that will have to tumble down. And however, the disruption won't be, you know, horrific or anything like that.
Okay.
We'll simply roll over to a distribution of wealth, a currency that is actually metal-based. And this has actually been being worked out behind the scenes for a couple of years now. In fact, there's a rather elaborate legal replacement government to our federal government that we have under the current construct. Earlier law or earlier constitutional provisions and legislation allow for this in the kind of circumstances that we're in right now, you know, where our government has been taken over and is hostile to the people. The interim government was actually built into our system. So it's been the work to get it activated has been going on for a sufficient amount of time that we're actually ready to roll that out very, very soon now. And the financial reconstruction has already been worked out likewise. So people need to relax and understand that everything has been planned for by the most intelligent entities you could possibly imagine.
All right.
I mean, yeah. And so And so this is going to be a rational affair and relatively smooth transition. Not that we won't see some scuffles, but that'll be infighting from the people we're breaking away from. Uh-huh. And we'll just enjoy the show as they pick on one another, but realize that that the higher realm entities aren't going to let them, have a pissing match, if you will, with their lasers.
Yeah.
To the detriment of any of us on the ground. So, their ships can be captured and taken aboard our motherships and taken out of the equation rather efficiently. But there will be some skirmishes that we will see in the weeks to come, and those will be widely reported so that the humans on the ground will know what was happening. But they will also see how swiftly it was put to an end. and then that should embolden everyone to settle down and settle into this new paradigm of freedom that we are already in.
Wow. Now, what about the enormous underground projects that have been going on and the secret projects that are basically black operations that we, well, for instance, Area 51 through 99 and...
Sure. None of that is a secret to the people that it matters most to, and it's not even a secret to the humans anymore. But it is known right where everybody is at. There isn't anybody on this planet that is inaccessible to the kind of technology that our big friends have brought with them.
All right.
And plus, there's the supernatural ability to simply disembody somebody who is absolutely going to commit an evil and unallowable act, which is murder now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can be disembodied or beamed off the planet, whatever recourse is necessary and appropriate to the agreement that person forgot they made when they came onto this planet.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are going to be allowed to die ahead of time. Anybody dying from this day forward, it was already built into their contract.
Okay.
Coming in. They didn't need to be here for ascension. They probably came here just to be light on a dark place and bring their frequency onto the surface of the earth to add it. We've had an additive effect, we angels, by incarnating down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sufficient for most of us to just simply be here and just be the light and just and just be, endure patiently and observe and integrate and negotiate and, try, but learn, whether you realize it or not. But just being here for most of us was sufficient. But some of us actually were here for a mission plan, and mine was initiated on the 31st of January. And I was kicked into action, and everything I was doing at the time got dropped like a hot rock. My career.
Wow.
It was quite the unfoldment. I went pretty fast, and but here we are. I did what I came to do, which was to be a tattletale, a whistleblower. And then my secondary now, which is now my primary, is to be a way shower. And I'm a paradigm shifter. The book that I was already writing before Cliff High's Webbot predicted me was already titled The Next Paradigm Shift, Physics, Consciousness, and the Evolution of Humankind. I began writing that book right after Valentine's Day, because when I woke up on Valentine's Day and I apprehended in my mind fully the problem with the paradigms of physics that I had been studying for 7 years on this planet. I had already been studying quantum physics and aether physics through Dave Thompson primarily, but also the Correa couple, or Carrera, if I'm saying their name. There's excellent quantum physicists on this planet who can illuminate us quite a way. There were gaps, there were holes here and there, and I had struggled with those over the last several years. And I woke up on Valentine's Day, and all of a sudden there was no confusion whatever. It was simple. And it was unbelievably simple, and I was shocked. And it was as if, like in The Matrix, when you see all those letters coming down the screen, and the letters have a meaning that is an image of the mind, it was a lot like that. I was really cognizant of, like, information pouring into my head, even after I woke up. Hmm. And I'm, like, reading it as it's coming in. And I said to my boyfriend at the time, I was like, "Oh, my God, Mike, I think I'm a genius." And I laughed, and he goes, "Why do you say that?" And I said, "Because I know what's wrong with relativity theory. I know how to resolve the macro with the micro, and wow. I get it. And I started giving him examples because he's a chemist, you know. He could track along, and he was like, "Whoa." I mean, it wasn't long, even with his knowledge base, before I had gone over his head. And so I decided to write a book because this was going to mean something to the right people. Because when you understand the energies that intimately, I mean, we use primarily just electrons on this planet, but heck, there's a positron, there's right. a proton, there's an antiproton. I mean, we're missing 3/4 of the easy energy. That's just the easy stuff, you know, that's the big stuff.
Free energy has been around, as far as I know, it's been around for a long time. It's just been held in the hands of...
Absolutely.
Exactly. So
absolutely.
I take it that you would agree that that is one of the areas that we've been held back in that will be released as the stranglehold is removed.
Well, I'm happy to report, because I do run in that circle, that a great many wonderful inventions that work on water and, you know, just easy stuff without moving parts, just exchanging energy across cells and things like that. And, you know, you can power a car with a thing like that. And, and the days of being able to kill people who were trying to bring to market something that the powers that be didn't want there are... over, because it was seated in the consciousness of so many human beings. First, to be curious about what it was that Tesla knew, and then, you know, because they desired it so much, you know, their own what some people would call their oversoul or higher self or whatever obliged them. That's a knock on the door. You're asking for something. So whatever you set your mind to and pursue, you will get. Full apprehension of. You'll know all the universe has to share with you about that if you keep at it.
It's almost as if we're tapping into the great mind with a capital M.
Yes.
And our little brains or little minds, not the monkey mind, is kind of like a filtering device that, you know, can work with some very great ideas. And I see that we're moving towards a point when people will be restored to full consciousness.
Absolutely. It's coming up so fast. It's going to make
I really hope
spin.
So, because this has been a long trek for all of us and probably a lot of souls that
have
reincarnated over and over and in many different forms.
I just want to say that we have so much help. I mean, there's 144,000 Arcturans like me waking up. I also happen to have Pleiadian lines, and my Pleiadian self woke up first. My Arcturian self is waking up now.
I love the Arcturians.
But there's 144,000 of us on the ground who are coming to consciousness pretty quickly now. There's over 1 million Pleiadian humans, you know, humans on the ground that have Pleiadian souls enlivening them, because so many of us are Pleiadian. You know, and so they can easily enliven. Well, I shouldn't say even easily. When your first soul is Pleiadian and you're a Pleiadian, then it only makes sense that whoever you are now as a human being is the same Pleiadian soul that came here initially, because they incarnate over and over and over again for this experiment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're also going to be moving beyond duality and beyond the need for labels. So
absolutely.
I suspect that a lot of this will become irrelevant as we quickly
It depends on where everybody's next step is, because
well,
some people
yes.
came from really high up the realms there, and some people are just going from a natural progression, evolutionarily
right.
speaking, from where we're at right now to the
That's
very
right.
next step, which would be that 4-5D, where we're kind of, you know, in 4, stepping in 5, a lot of us, those of us coming awake. The others are in 3-4, still asleep there, not even realizing that this is even going on for them behind the scenes, because they're not tuned into these kinds of radio shows and you know, blogs and Facebook pages and all that kind of stuff. For them, this just isn't even happening yet.
Yeah.
But for us, this the happening of all our anticipation since we became consciously aware that there might be a God.
Yeah. Now,
now the truth is that the God that you were waiting for was you. You were the one. You just had to knock on the door and say, "Self, I need more of me down here."
Yeah, really.
Got bigger work to do now. Priorities have changed.
Well, now, speaking of that, there are a lot of people that are quite interested in the idea of a first contact, that is, whatever our origins are, or the galactic confederations and so on might be, making a benevolent appearance with us, so that we can begin to know our origins and where we came from, and actually start to reunite with the higher, you know,
yes.
those beings that have been around for millions and
yeah,
millions
but
of years.
Realize that those of us who are here on assignment, as it were, already know these things. So as we integrate more and more of who and what we really are at the soul level, we will know these things intuitively. They will just become part of our knowing, our consciousness. But for those who didn't come from there down to do this job, who are just on their way up,
okay.
there will be many mechanisms of learning, and they will be taught. And as they become telepathic, they will absorb that higher consciousness of knowing as well. And we will repair the physical bodies of everybody on this planet as quickly as we can. It'll be done in stepwise fashion, as it has been, but at a much faster pace than we have seen before. We're at the crest of that wave where the water starts toppling over.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It
yeah.
feels that way. Well,
yeah.
The death, disease, and all of that stuff is genetic manipulation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course.
Yes.
I mean, it could only be that.
Imposed. It was always imposed on this species. I mean, we had a time clock in our original design that was supposed to run about 1,000 years, depending on circumstances, nutrition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it was not uncommon to live for 1,000 years.
Right.
But that was at a time, you know, you're talking biblical time now, where, you know, the circumstances on this planet changed radically. It doesn't describe why the planet was having floods, but it had lost both of its moons. Unfortunately, me and my team back at that time were cultivating this planet and bringing culture here and building high societies and using free energy, amplifying it off the crystals of this planet. And we had virtually had placed power stations in our pyramids and such at key locations that would cross through our cities and power them. And so even today, you can tell where the city centers were just by looking at where pyramids are and triangulating where they would line up on, you know, on the latitude lines.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're all
you
over the globe.
They're all over the globe.
They're all,
yeah.
Yeah, they're finding on the ley lines.
We had a lot of time, and we got a lot done, and we had a lot of ability, too, so it didn't really take as much time as one might think, but unfortunately, my team and I, we went a little too far, and we overstressed the crystal systems that were natural to Gaia, and when they fractured, we lost our electromagnetic hold on both of our her moons. They floated away, and that's what caused all the floods, and we lost a lot of souls on our team and the humans that we had created here. And it was a horrible, horrible tragedy, and we certainly meant no harm, neither to our kind or the humans whom we made, to be with us, to do what we were doing, to bring this planet into a glorious creation you know, self-sufficiency. I mean, everything worked according to the natural ebbs and flows of Gaia's own energies. But we should have tested a smaller sample before we implemented something so grand a scale. Unfortunately, I think there was an impatience to move ahead, maybe overconfidence from so many prior successes. But you know, I think it perhaps was an arrogant mistake. We at the time were about where the humans are now in terms of arrogance and that, you know, being overconfident and not realizing that there's limits to technology that require discipline and respect. And the kinds of things that humans are doing right now with genetic engineering were also mistakes that we were making then.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just not respecting what was natural there, being impatient, wanting to change it, manipulating it to accommodate ourselves. And we learned a hard lesson that, you know, there's karma in that because you're damaging something that was created by a divine entity with deliberation and forethought, created what's on themselves, each and every one of them. And so what we're basically saying is you didn't do a good enough job or this just isn't good enough for me. However, whatever the intention is, the aims were, you know, not in alignment with the planet, but realize that the Pleiadians, like the humans, were not telepathic then, with the planet. I'm suspecting that, I'm not saying the Pleiadians, let me back up the bus. There are many levels of Pleiadians. There are the ascended ones, and this is true of every species, by the way. We all have our ascended ones from the higher realms who are trying to leg up their younger ones coming up. So I want to clarify that because the Pleiadians that Billy Meyer supposedly encountered were not the Pleiadians that I talk about most of the time, but right now it is. These were the ones, they were not ascended ones, and they're what we call the Anunnaki today. So I just blended two stories because there was the original family of Captain Jack that came here that was of a different, a higher evolved level of you know, the Pleiadian, or what I would say human ancestry, because this form is the Lyran, Pleiadian, Sirian, you know, form. Of course, all the star systems and galaxies have multitudes of forms in any given system, just like, you know, we have our mammals and our insect kingdom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when a planet or a system has been around long enough, all those things, the bugs and everything, become sentient. They self-modify their physical forms because they start learning by looking around them, you know. So something looks at something else and goes, wow, it'd be nice if I had hands too, you know. And so they start setting that intention up and start manifesting it, because in those other systems, there's nothing to prevent it. Here on Earth, that was not the case.
In
all the lower realms, it's not the case, by the way. In all the lower realms, that's not the case.
Huh.
You know, that's something that you arrive at. It's not where you start.
Boy, we could do a whole another show on that. I wanted to ask you another question, so because I know a lot of people are curious about this one. How significant is the Mayan calendar in the timing of all of these energies and shifts that we're going through?
It's a system, as most people know, has a lot of fudge factors built into it, and it measures more than one cycle. There's three great cycles that it measures in particular. There's a lot to that I haven't even studied, but what I can tell you is that the best way to describe that is, you know, it's the cogwheel of the cosmos. If nothing interfered and everything moved along exactly as predicted, then that thing would have happened right on the dot. However, that's not how it went down. And so there are variables now, because we have our space brothers and sisters have ships large enough to actually push these objects around, and if needs be, blow one up. And so they've been blowing up large comets and asteroids that have been coming in towards Nibiru, which was coming from the south, acting like a magnet, pulling all this stuff from the asteroid belt and perhaps even further out. inward towards the sun, and we were in the way. So if you look at the progression of comets and asteroids in near-Earth orbit over the last 20 years, somebody put a video together and time-lapsed it, and you will see a dirty, dirty space here, pretty much evenly distributed everywhere, and then all of a sudden it starts getting all cleaned up. Until now, there isn't anything between Earth and Jupiter. It's clean as a whistle, folks. Because our friends have been taking care of that for us so that we didn't get hurt.
Now, what about the idea that there are space wars going on all over the place?
Yeah, there are. There are. But realize that the upper hand is already is a predetermined, inescapable fact. And there had been wars for a long, long time because of Sagittarius B and the entities that she brought in here, in their immaturity, but big. And they unfortunately acquired technology from our system, which is quite advanced. And so you had these vicious entities who were not could not have created, the kind of technology that they encountered. But encounter it they did, and it raised their ambitions and changed their thought process. And they came in possession of these things, and of course have been quite diabolical with them. So it's a regrettable situation, but I want everybody to know that this is a problem that's been going on for millions of years, and now this is actually the last bastion of this for this system. We go up and out of this, and we'll never encounter such things ever again. We have served our time and risen to the goal of escaping all of that and taking with us all the experience we could possibly acquire over the amount of time allotted, which was quite extensive, about 11,000 years for this system.
That as we approach the end of the hour, that brings us to a hopeful note, which is where we started, where you did mention that we need not have any fear and to chill. That, we're in good hands, but we can't, what would you recommend that, is there anything we can literally do, or is this just a matter
of... Yeah, do something, just distract yourself with those things that make you happy, that make you feel fulfilled, that give you pleasure, make you smile, laugh, dance, just dance like an idiot in your living room, who cares? Distract yourself with joyful things, uplifting things, heartwarming things, instead of the kind of habits humans have fallen into with distraction.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and really know that fear is a toxin. So is worry. It really will topple into fear.
Fear is a food for these entities to feed off.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to create that feedback loop that keeps dragging them towards. But just like mentioning them by species, I was saying before, with any kind of angst about it, it's one thing to talk about the higher realm versions of these same exact entities that we encountered here that just aren't grown up enough yet, especially they have the kind of technology they had. So dispense all fear. Simply do not give space to it, heart, mind, anything, and including giving ear to it to somebody else. Just say, you know what, I'm past that, and I hope that you will get past that as quickly as possible. Let me share the good news. We don't got to worry about that anymore. Let's move on. We got bigger fish to fry. Now it's called rebuilding utopia on this planet.
Wow. Well, Colleen, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I want you to have a moment to mention where people can find you and where they can find your videos and so on and so forth.
Okay. Thank you for that. I am on YouTube on the Coles a Kick channel. That's Coles a Kick, and it's just kind of I'm kind of a humorous girl. I live in the humor zone. That's my happy place. And Cole is a nickname of mine, so Cole's a Kick. They just don't allow the hyphen to make that a possessive. But also at www.wildcolleen.com. And I do have the Wild Colleen YouTube channel also, because they banned me for a month for violating their decency clause, which ironically, the smut that they allow on there for free, they have you rate a video adult, and I put an 18-year-old and above rental on there in their beta program. And I guess it was smutty enough because they banned me for what friends of mine had described as museum quality semi-nudes. And so I created that The Wild Colleen YouTube channel also for the month that I was being spanked by YouTube. and then I'm also at www.n5d.com, and that's n5d.com. That's from Greg Prescott of the N5D channel, also on YouTube. And also he has his Mayan 2012 N5D focus. Website that is also quite has been quite a resource for those who were trying to increase awareness and brought towards awakening for their curiosity. Greg has been quite instrumental in feeding the flock down here what they needed to have.
Well, wonderful. Well, Colleen, this has been a terrific chat. I love talking to you. We'll have to have you back. And for the first day of the year of 2011, I'd say we're off to a pretty darn good start, don't you?
I concur.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's go have some fun and some laughter. And thanks so much for being on the show. And come back again, too, will you?
My sincerest pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. And good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.